This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are the Mass Communications Honor Society induction, Campus Ministries coins for a cause, and Pope Francis's consideration of allowing married priests. We'll also get this week's edition of the Business Beat, a March Madness sports update, and the weather for the rest of the week. Lambda Pi Eta is the Mass Communications Department's National Honor Society. Yesterday evening, 10 new members were inducted into Lambda Pi Eta, and several others received departmental awards. Program Director Nick Rotundo interviewed some of the attendants of the ceremony.
With the induction of 10 new members of the Mass Communications Honor Society, Lambda Pi Eta, last night, Vice President of the Honor Society, Senior Mass Communications Major Chris Natale, explains what this means to him.
Lambda Pi Eta to me is the family, because we start as Mass Comm majors. We don't know each other really that well. And after 4 years of, you know, being together, you're bound to make a bunch of friends that you can count on, colleagues that you can count on. And I really think that this is great for people to be inducted, because they not only get to know other people in their major, but they also will share it with friends that they've known for a long time. And I believe it's a great thing, and I'm glad that the communications major continues to do this, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Chris also went on to talk about how prestigious it is to be inducted into Lambda Pi Eta.
This is the 9th ceremony that Lambda Pi Eta has actually done, and it signifies a lot of hard work. It signifies, you know, building relationships here at King's with the communications department, like the chair and other people that are involved in the radio station and the graphic design department, and really building those relationships up from the ground up in a way. And it takes a lot of hard work. I was a business major, and then when I switched to communications, I feel like I found my fit. And I know I have, because after being inducted into the society last year and getting an award of excellence for broadcast and social media today, I feel important. I feel like the work I did was worth it, and I feel like I've learned so much, and I'm just improving and learning more.
Two new members of Lambda Pi Eta, Senior Rachel Vitale and Junior Owen Vaughn, shared their opinions of how it feels to be welcomed into the Honor Society.
I'm very grateful, and I think it's a great thing to put on my resume, and I'm really happy.
I feel like it's a real honor. It's great to be recognized for your work, and I also have nothing but respect for all the other students that were inducted, so to be counted among them feels pretty great.
Finally, Rachel and Owen spoke about how thankful they were that their hard work paid off.
I'm a senior, so I feel like I've worked very hard over my past 4 years. I'm the president of a club. I'm very involved with the school. I try to get involved wherever I can, and I feel like it's a recognition for the hard work that I've done over my 4 years here.
I certainly would say I work hard, so it's good to know that my hard work has been noticed and appreciated. I want to say thank you to the faculty and whoever chooses who gets into Lambda Pi Eta. I'm very grateful.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo.
Each year, Campus Ministry does something unexpected with red plastic cups. They use them for charity by having students, faculty, and clubs fill them with coins. Father Eric Schimmel explained the fundraiser with intern Michael Palmer.
When you walk on college campuses, the red cup is a popular and useful item seen throughout. However, at King's College, the red cup means more than just being solo. Father Eric Schimmel, assistant coordinator in campus ministry, started a Red Cup Challenge exemplifying Coins for a Cause.
A program called Coins for a Cause, in which people would give out red cups that had specific design on the outside. And the idea was to collect coins leading up towards, at that point in time, Coins for a Cause could be during Lent, could you join Advent. We were doing one in the fall semester that would help an international Catholic charity, and didn't necessarily only have to be Catholic charities, but because as a Catholic school we have better connections, and sometimes going from Catholic charity to Catholic charity, especially internationally, you can get money directly to a location without the government skimming off the top. And so that people can have comfort saying that whatever money I am giving goes directly to that program.
During the Lenten season, giving up your ego and less important things is the trademark behind the point of giving back to others.
The first time that we had been extremely intentional per se during Lent that I recall of doing a Red Cup type of program and not limiting it to specific Red Cup, but saying, hey, a lot of students we know use red solo cups and not necessarily for spiritual things, although they might put spirits in there, as in wines and spirits, and say, okay, if Lent is a season of conversion, why not say, hey, you can use your red cup for something other than fulfilling yourself or trying to find satisfaction or something fun for yourself, but use a red cup to help somebody else.
The Red Cup Challenge forces you to ask yourself if you have done enough to help out others. Catholic beliefs teaches us that Jesus sacrificed his life for the good of his people. All Father Schimmel asks is a small portion of your grace and charity.
As we think, especially during Lent, Christ's blood was shed for us. He sacrificed for us in this Red Cup. Can I sacrifice a little bit for people who are really hurting and who are in need?
Jesus' message is the same as the Red Cup Challenge, delivering good for a cause.
Nobody is perfect. Everybody needs help from time to time, even if you get yourself into a bad situation. If you get yourself into a bad situation, doesn't mean you can get yourself out. And as Christians, and especially as Catholics in a Catholic school, you know, Jesus hung out with people who were most in need and who needed help getting themselves out of situations. And he didn't ask people, how did you get there? Are you worthy? He helped them out. And as he helped people out, moved them to a process of conversion.
The Coins for a Cause and the Red Cup Challenge stems from stories of national and local people that are struggling in their own lives. Whether they may be homeless or poor, the Bridge Youth Services are there to help.
There is this program called the Bridge Youth Services. They help runaway youth. They help homeless youth. It started about 40 years ago. They serve between 25 to 30 kids a month, about 150 to 200 every year. And that's a lot of kids. There's a great need here in our own backyard. You know, we can help.
In order to change the world, we must first change ourselves. Father Schimmel wants the King's College community to be prudent in the efforts of the Coins for a Cause.
This ministry staff was preparing for Lent. We were thinking, you know, we want to offer ways for people to pray. Another big thing that people do during Lent is fasting. The third big thing is almsgiving, doing something for somebody else. And often almsgiving is something financial. And we said, why don't we do a Red Cup program again? But instead of thinking globally, there are a lot of serious problems in the world and a lot of ways that people can help throughout the world. But we thought, you know, there is an expression, you can think globally, act locally. And we have some problems here in Wilkes-Barre, and so looked online at the Catholic Social Services, you know, for the Diocese of Scranton that covers a lot of northeastern Pennsylvania, and said, what are different things that are happening right here? And there are many different programs happening right here helping people who are in serious need. And then we also said, what could possibly connect with the students?
Red Cups are all over college campuses. So be sure to stop by the chapel on Jackson Street to get your own and get your almsgiving started.
We have cups in our vestibule or entranceway all the time, and you know they're going to be available all during Lent, which goes all the way up until Easter. Right after Easter, we'll be collecting the donations and sending everything directly to the Bridge Youth Services here in Wilkes-Barre.
The Red Cup Challenge has begun. I challenge you to give coins for a cause. From WRKC News at 5, I'm Michael Palmer.
For over 1,000 years, Roman Catholic priests have been unable to be married. But could that change? Pope Francis recently said that he would be open to considering the possibility in a time when fewer men wish to become priests. Social Media and Promotions Director John Flynn sat down with Director of Campus Ministry Father Tom Looney to discuss the new proposal.
Pope Francis recently said that he may allow married men in the Catholic Church to be ordained priests in the future. Such a move would break nearly a millennium of tradition in the Roman Catholic Church. King's College chaplain Father Tom Looney says that the tradition of the church hasn't entirely barred married men from the priesthood.
Well, of course, at the beginning of the church's history, priests, those who were the leaders of the church community, were in fact married. And we know that that was pretty common in the life of the church for a very long time in the church in the West. We know that in the Eastern part of the church that clergy always married and have continued to marry to this day. So some people say, oh, Catholic priests aren't permitted to be married. Well, that's only partially true. The Eastern Rite Catholic priests are able to marry. And so the discipline in the church in the West, which came into kind of solidified really in about the 11th century, has become the tradition in the Western church.
In the 4 years of Pope Francis's papacy, social justice issues have become a top priority of the church. Therefore, people seem to be more tolerant about these changes in the church.
I think that many people would like to see Catholic priests in the Western part of the church be able to be married. And I think that comes for a variety of reasons. One, there is a scarcity of priests in Europe, in the United States, in Latin America, and in Africa even. And so many people believe that by allowing clergy to be married, that that would help to alleviate the problem of the priest shortage. Other people believe that if priests are married, they will have a greater sensitivity to the lives of Catholic families throughout the world.
Nonetheless, if Pope Francis can faithfully execute a smooth transition of such a policy in the church, it would signal two major things. It would mark an astounding achievement in the church's history, and it would reflect the Pope's spirit of open dialogue.
That would be quite an amazing reality. I think that to say that priests in the Western Church are now permitted to marry will open up, I think, lots of questions within the church, lots of challenges within the church. And Pope Francis is a pope who seems to really enjoy inviting great dialogue about important issues. And so I think it would be a sign to the church in general that there is great dialogue that needs to happen within the light of the church, that its disciplinary practices might be open to transformation and to renewal at different moments.
In addition, Father Looney said the canonization of the parents of St. Teresa of Lisieux not too long ago was a hint of what can happen, the stress of importance of the family in the church.
Priests are called in a very profound way to lead a deeply holy life. And I think one of the blessings of a married priesthood is a signal that the church believes that holiness can, in fact, be lived very deeply in the state of marriage. Just several years ago, the parents of Thérèse of Lisieux were canonized, a married couple. The first time in the church that a married couple was canonized, holding out to married couples that married life is, in fact, a way of holiness.
However, he acknowledges that there will be challenges to this idea, such as financial issues and the comparison with the struggle between divorce and marriage in the Protestant clergy.
I think there are challenges to allowing married clergy in the West. They're very pragmatic. One is the financial realities. Catholic tradition struggles now to maintain its clergy, to be able to provide for all kinds of social welfare programs and programs of evangelization in the world. And so if priests marry and have families, well, that'll be an extra burden on a parish community to provide financially. We know from looking at the reality of Protestant clergy in the United States, for example, that many Protestant clergy have been divorced and remarried. And in the Catholic tradition, there's a very strong sense that we follow Jesus's prohibition against remarriage after divorce. And so the challenges that will come to priests into their ministry when they have difficulties in their marriage and things don't work out between them and their spouse.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Social Media and Promotions Director John Flynn.
Coming up next, we'll get a look into this week's Economics on the Business Beat, hear about this week's March Madness Bracket Busters, and get a look at the forecast for the rest of the week.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Hi, this is Erin McKeown, and you are listening to WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
This is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. Federal Reserve raised its short-term target rate 25 basis points at its March Federal Open Market Committee meeting. Median projections were largely unchanged and still point to three rate hikes in 2017 and 2018. The target range now rests between 0.75% and 1%. The timing of the next rate hike remains elusive, but with political risks looming, including raising the U.S. debt ceiling, execution of Article 50 to enact Brexit being confirmed, and the first round of the French presidential election, some uncertainty is expected to seep in ahead of the June FOMC meeting. The trend in oil prices will also be important to watch in the coming months. Especially as prices have slipped and stockpiles have risen since the early December meeting with OPEC members and non-OPEC nations agreeing to cut production. The next OPEC meeting will occur on May 25th, and members will undoubtedly reevaluate production levels. As seen in retail sales and consumer prices in February, the slide in oil prices diluted headline activity. That being said, with weak oil prices passing to core inflation and goods prices increasing, it is expected that the headline and core prices will remain firm over the coming months. In part, the modest headline sales reading in February reflects a delay in tax refunds to households that claim earned income tax credits or additional child tax credits. According to the IRS, beginning this year, tax refunds for households that claim EITCs or ACTCs on their tax return were held until February 15th, but did not arrive until the week of February 27th. The delay is due to the Protecting Americans from Tax Hikes Act of 2015, which came into effect late last year and seeks to help the IRS verify claims. One interesting effect on the U.S. economy was the March snowstorm Stella, which could have some effect on the seasonal adjustment process and have economic indicators published weaker than expected. These include average weekly hours, initial jobless claims, construction spending, retail sales and utilities output, housing starts, and sales activity. The Global Review. The U.K. economy has performed better than many had expected since the Brexit vote. In fact, the Bank of England nudged up its quarter one GDP forecast to 0.6% from 0.5% last month. At its recent meeting, the central bank voted in favor of keeping monetary policy unchanged. The minutes of the meeting noted that the bank is willing to allow inflation to run above the 2% target temporarily to protect jobs and growth. The jobless rate in the UK has declined to 4.7%, the lowest rate since 1975, and is currently nearing full employment. At the same time, average weekly earnings are growing slower than expected, indicating that wage growth is not picking up with underlying inflation that could weigh on the consumer-driven economy. The pickup in inflation makes a convincing case for a rate hike later this year. However, it is not expected that the Bank of England will do this since there have been no wage acceleration to support inflation and recent data points to weak spots in the economy. This, in addition to uncertainty surrounding Brexit negotiations and the triggering of Article 50, leads economists to believe that the Bank of England will keep rates unchanged for the remainder of the year. On a different note, China released its latest fixed asset investment, retail sales, and industrial production data this week. Fixed asset investment, which includes capital spent on infrastructure, real estate, machinery spending across the economy, grew 8.9% in January and February, beating expectations for an 8.3% gain. Investments by state-owned businesses also increased. The Chinese government has relaxed credit lending standards in the hopes of spurring real estate demand, which has paid off as residential investment has picked up over the past two quarters. Growing demand for steel to meet the increase in infrastructure spending and a rebound in real estate investment has been a major boom. Disappointing automobile sales as a result of the government reducing tax breaks for small cars weighed on growth, while consumers favored online shopping, which jumped 31.9%. As the Chinese government moves away from debt-driven growth and avoids a hard landing, the strength of the economy will depend largely on investment growth as fiscal policy becomes less supportive. This will prove to be difficult to sustain over the long term, as weak consumption will weigh on growth. The year started off very well for China, but it is expected that the economy will slow to 6.8% in the year 2017. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
March Madness can be one of the most stressful yet rewarding times in all of sports. 64 teams compete for the NCAA Basketball National Championship. This year, early favorites like Villanova, Duke, and Louisville saw an early exit from the tournament, thus ruining many people's brackets. This could maybe be the year of the Cinderella or the Overlooked. WRKC had the chance to speak with some King's College students about the current state of their brackets, the Cinderellas and the Overlooked, and who they see winning the national championship. Seniors Eric Reinheimer, Derek McManus, and Tyler Bro spoke about their brackets.
A couple of shocking things was Duke going out there, losing, and Wisconsin, obviously, the shocker beating Villanova. Everybody probably had Villanova either winning the championship or going to the championship again this year. I'm really hoping that UNC and Kansas can get into the Final Four and at least save me, and hopefully I can win the bracket.
My bracket, it's a dumpster fire at this point. All my upsets, I mean, I got a couple upsets, but most of them didn't pan out, and my surefire picks, they got upset. So, at this point, I'm going to tell you, my bracket's not looking too good.
March Madness is also a time when mid-major schools have made their name on the national stage, like Davidson and Wichita State. But there are also schools who are overlooked because of early exits from the tournament, like last year's winner, Villanova. Eric, Derek, and Tyler spoke about the Cinderellas and overlooked teams so far.
I didn't expect West Virginia to play as well as they have been playing. Even Michigan. Michigan, so far, they have a very, very good shot to go to the Final Four.
I like Purdue. I think Purdue was kind of overlooked by a lot of teams in this tournament. I think Purdue is sort of a team that they're big down low. Got to tell you, another big Cinderella. Nobody really saw the Big Ten champion, Michigan. I think they are an absolutely great team that everybody kind of overlooked, even in the Big Ten tournament. So they're really a team to look out for. They got Oregon coming up, so you know, watch out for them.
South Carolina, I don't think anyone would expect that from them. You know, pull off two big upsets, especially a powerhouse like Duke, who is, well, one of the favorites to win.
Eric, Derek, and Tyler spoke about who they think will win based on the 16 teams left.
Kansas.
Kansas, I think, is the big top dog right now.
I'll go get UNC, maybe Kentucky after that.
My bracket's been busted, and I hope everyone enjoys the rest of March Madness. I know I will. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be clear with a low of 10 degrees. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 42. And Friday will have a wintry mix with a high of 48. Tomorrow, there will be a stress-less fest in the lobby of the campus center with therapy dogs and other activities from 11 to 2. There will also be a quest retreat this weekend. See your email inbox for an application from Father Dan Issing. The applications are due by noon tomorrow. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Station Manager Jessica Mulligan. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio Kings College, Wilkes-Barre.